Welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast, brought to you by AmpCoil. I'm your host, Freddie Kimmel, and on this show, we discuss the common thread survivors share after walking through the fire, the practitioners making a difference, and the treatment modalities that deliver healing back into the hands of the people who need it most. Witness the inspiration we gain by navigating the human experience with grace, humility, and a healthy dose of mistakes. Because part of being human is being beautifully broken. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Beautifully Broken podcast. This is the last one of 2020. I was going to skip this week because it's been so busy and there's so much going on and there's a swirling vortex of energies. I feel this in everyone. We're going into this new decade. It's so exciting. And I was hit with this self-examination. I'm doing this assignment for me and I'm going through this list of questions. And I thought this would be an amazing podcast because I think it's timely, I think it's relevant, and I think it would be a great tool to launch you into 2020. So I'm going to go through these questions. We're going to go through them in real time for this will be my answer. And then you can apply these. I'll put these questions in the show notes, and I think they're really, really great. You know, New Year's resolutions, let's face it, at the end of next year, you are going to be heavier or lighter than you are right now. That I can guarantee. So without any further ado, number one, am I using my time wisely? Well, I'm definitely dedicating a majority of my energy towards something bigger than myself. My goals aren't so driven towards being well or achieving some optimal level of health because I feel pretty good with what I have. And I'm very thankful for my cognition, my energy. They're the best they've been in my life, period. I'm 41 years old. I can say that now after going through, you know, all the chronic illness, Lyme, cancer, mold, all those shenanigans. So I'm celebrating that. Am I using my time wisely? That's the question. You know what? I dedicate and drive too much towards work. And not enough time towards joy. And that's real for me. I know that, and I say that every day. I'm working too hard. The balance isn't there. So there'll be a time where the tank runs dry. And that either means that I get sick, or it means that my output starts to suffer. Maybe the creative quality control meter drops. That's a real thing. That could happen. So I need to be wise about how I use my time, and I need to balance towards joy and fun. Self-care, I'm good there. I've got enough. I think I could be a little more targeted on what I'm spending my time on, but I need to focus on joy and fun and laughing and planning vacations, and I've started that in a notebook, so I'm sketching out my vacations for 2020. My friends who are worried about me, Freddie, we never see you. You're always working. I'm going to try to change that. So, our next question on here, number two, am I taking anything for granted? I probably don't hold enough gratitude, again, for the health and wellness that I have right now. I'm pretty much able to eat most foods. I could go out and get Chipotle and not have a severe food reaction. I can work all day long and energy is not an issue. I could travel anywhere in the country. I can walk without tremendous pain. I think those things are everything for a person who wants to change the world. If you have that, if you have your faculty, your facility, your thoughts, what more is there? I have a beautiful family. And while I don't have a partner or a relationship that would be considered that quote-unquote coupling at the moment, I have a beautiful community and a beautiful family. And my nieces and nephews, if you're on my Instagram or my Facebook feed, I'm sorry, because they own that. And I'm just very, very grateful for them and their unique playfulness and joy and beauty. My brothers and sisters, they got some beautiful kids. That's all I have to say. So I could take more gratitude for that. Number three, am I employing healthy perspective? I got to think about that one for a minute. I think I probably try to drive or achieve the unachievable. I could probably set more realistic goals. Everything doesn't have to be a moonshot. And I don't have to succeed at everything. I could set down that a little bit. There's a degree of that that's not healthy for myself, that I push and push and push and don't take no for an answer. And when I push past that line, I feel that state of depletion. It's like a slight depression. You know, you've worked all day long and you're fasting and you're doing your red lights and I'm working on a podcast and I'm on the phone running a business and I haven't taken the time to just sit back and wait a second. The clock should stop at the end of the day. I should set all this stuff down and I should pick it up tomorrow. And I should be realistic about what I can achieve and just breathe. Part of that comes from being chronically ill for a while. I just don't like sitting still. I was forced into stillness, into the couch, into a hospital room for a long time. And I'm very reactive to that. So I push away from it. But that's something I could take a healthy perspective on and I could shift that. So I'm going to write that out for myself. My next one, number four, am I living true to myself? Am I living true to myself? I think so. Again, work-life balance, joy, and investing in some of those deeper connections with people in my community. I'd say that's where I could pick up. But I do feel like I'm living pretty true to myself. Where do I fall off? I'll fall off when somebody attacks me with a little bit of negativity, especially in social media. That'll make me fall off. I can become untrue to myself and those thoughts. And in a podcast episode I mentioned about forgiveness, you know, I can loop that negativity and have those feelings of you know, vengeance or rage. So I could see where that could be improved a little bit. Next one. Oh, this is big for me. Am I waking up in the morning ready to take on the day? So that's going to resonate with some people. Do you wake up ready to take on the day? For myself, I'll tell you what the buffer is. I'll tell you what the process. It's getting up. I gotta get in a hot shower, hot, cold, and jumpstart the motor a little bit because I worked till 1 a.m. I was up till 2 a.m. I was up till midnight. I didn't close my computer till 11:30. That does not set me up with success to take on the next day. I need to go to bed earlier. I need to plan and I need to schedule these tasks. And if they're not done by 8 o'clock, it should be 6:30 p.m. I should shut the computer, set them down, and move on. I could set myself up better for success. Here's another one, very practical health tip. I could eat chocolate earlier in the day. If I'm going to have a piece or two of dark chocolate, for me, even a couple pieces of paleo, it's called Evolve Dark Chocolate. If you haven't tried it, get ye to Whole Foods and indulge because it's absolutely magical. But I'll bust open that chocolate bar late, 10 p.m. And it really does. It reacts in my body like a cup of coffee. So it's stimulating. That could help my processes before bed. The other thing I could do before bed to set my morning up for success is to carve out that time for dedicated download of the daily thoughts. For me, what really works when I do it is to open up a clean piece of paper in a journal and to write out everything that's running through my brain, everything that's running through the noggin, and just do a dumping, if you will, of ideas, a dumping, if you will, of thoughts. That would be profound for me. I think that's going to set me up for sleep very well. You know, the other thing I'll say is, I've got a pair. Here's a very practical tip about going to bed and being ready for the next day would be to wear a pair of blue blocker glasses, blocking the blue light from computers, television screen, my phone. That is suppressing melatonin production in my own body and making it difficult to fall asleep. Now, I do supplement with Da Vinci liposomal melatonin, which is excellent, very affordable online. And Another interesting fact, I don't want to get too much into health and wellness here. I want to say more in the mindset work, but you know, high dose melatonin up to 8-10 grams for short periods or bursts of time can help the brain detoxify. Melatonin is a supplement that helps actually the brain's inflammation drain. I got that tip from a couple of practitioners in Jersey, and then my friend Caitlin also practices. She uses the Da Vinci liposomal melatonin. Also, Chris Shade from Quicksilver Scientific makes an excellent, excellent liposomal melatonin. And above and beyond putting you to sleep, it will help the brain detoxify, lower inflammation, and make you more prepared for the next morning. Pro tip, the first few weeks you do that, you're going to wake up feeling like you got hit by a sledgehammer. So be aware, it's more the brain detoxifying than it is the lasting effects of the melatonin. But that was a change for me, and it really worked, and those benefits stuck from the time I tried it. Here's another one. Am I thinking negative thoughts before I fall asleep? Well, again, I work too late, and that's a thing. I've got to be able to change that. That's an easy fix. I should be able to alter that and change the amount of time I front load before bed. Right now, it's work, 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 lay down, do all my health hacks, and try to force myself into sleep, whether it's running a program on the Amp Coil, deep sleep, you know, pulse electromagnetic frequency with some very, very soothing pure sine waves running into my body, which will take me to that delta sleep state right on the verge, and I drop in. Because I'm going from work mode, daily life, right into sleep, there's not a bridge to clear that negativity if there is any. My go-to for that when I have time and I do it, like I should, I do some emotional freedom tapping. And again, I talk through all those negative scenarios that are running through my brain or my body, and I'm still feeling them in my tissue, and I dump those through some emotional freedom tapping. As I mentioned before, the free thought journaling and letting those things ooze out onto the page. My next question, am I putting enough effort into my relationships? Absolutely not. I'm not. And that's what I would do if I were to have a little magic wand to change the structure of my day, and I've got to write down what I want so then I can know how to make it happen. I would be done working at 5:30 or 6, and I would take the end of that day for joy. And for me, joy is being with friends, with family, with lovers, with community, and spending it that way. Moving on, easy answer, I know what I need to do there. Am I letting matters that are out of my control stress me out? Yes. Definitively, yes. You know, the last 2 weeks, this has been a big shift for me. I've set down my attachment to result. I show up how I'm going to show up. The outcome, it's out of my control. And I've really had to let that go because November was a bad month for me. I was literally making myself sick. My gut was twisting. My scar tissue, my abdominal adhesions, which are post-surgical scar tissue, were growing and twisting. And every 2 weeks, I was experiencing these laying on the floor puking for a day or not able to get out of bed because I was stressing myself out, worried about things that are beyond my control. That worry, that heartache, that doesn't play into a positive outcome. It's just, for lack of a better word, it's bullshit you carry into process. It's your bullshit, and you don't need it to get things across the finish line. Worry about it. Don't worry about it. The world's still turning. It's still going to turn out the way it's going to turn out. You show up how you need to show up and embrace the outcome. Accept what's coming. It's going to happen either way. So why make pain for yourself? The last question I have for you and myself, am I achieving the goals that I set out for myself? Okay, so just a quick scan of 2019. I wanted to start a podcast. Well, you're listening to it. So if you're hearing this, you're hearing the materialization of my dream. That was big. I love podcasting. I love it. I wish I had 1 million listeners each week. I don't yet. I might. But I love contributing because I always listen to shows and I think of what I would have said or where I would have contributed to the conversation, or, oh, that's a nice way to put it. But what if we opened up the statement so there's more possibility to go to the next question? That's what I try to do when I interview people. I try to not shut it down with what my opinion and my view is. And this is the way I think about it. It's yes and. That's a tip I got from Larry King. When I looked at making a podcast, I listened to all these, the biggest game changers in the industry, Tim Ferriss, Larry King, Luke Story, you know, and I listened to how they approach interviews. Another gentleman, I can't remember his name from he writes for GQ a lot, but his articles are great. And it's always yes and. What else could it be? What else can we come up with? Trust me, life is interesting, and to sit down and speak with someone and be able to pick their brain for an hour, it's such a treat for me. You know, the other goal was for it to be successful. And I think with, you know, the show's an hour, we've had 30,000 downloads in over, it's like 29 countries. It's pretty cool. It's a lot of time that we've spent together. Maybe we haven't met face to face, but a lot of people reach out to social media, Instagram, Facebook, message me directly through Freddie Sitko. I love it. I love it. Especially when it's someone who's had this incredible up level because information they got connected through Beautifully Broken. I don't need to worry about the numbers. It's like the one, right? Like Spock said, it's the one. Actually, Spock said, the needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few. And then he passes away in Star Trek 4, although he does come back. So I'm going to leave that sidestep. I'm going to go back into this train of thought. I wanted to sell my home in the city. I wanted to leave New York City just for a little bit, not forever, but I wanted to feel like what the country felt in my body, and now I'm in the woods in Connecticut. Success. I wanted to buy a car with all-wheel drive, so when I wanted to go home and see family, I wasn't worried about snow or bad weather. Success. You're the first to hear about that, by the way. I wanted to give 2019 full focus on health and wellness, working with AmpCoil, doing the podcast, coaching, being incorporated in some other startups that are bringing some awesome tech to the field of health and wellness. It's all happening. Even picked up an amazing connection last week, which you will hear about, this exciting team putting together a resource for children of chronic illness that is not backed by affiliates. It's all invested in, what do you do when you have a child of chronic illness? How do you avoid spending $15,000 in your first 3 months searching around for what will make them feel better? So that's a thing happening. And I'm going to be a part of that, and I'm going to interview that creator, and I'm going to support it however I can. So yeah, 2019, a lot of work stuff. A lot of content, a lot of deliverables, a word that I despise. A lot of stuff happened, which is great. But I think 2020 is going to be about balance for me and about joy, about reaping some of these rewards. Where can I go work from in the country, in the world? I got the computer, I got the microphone, pretty much anywhere. So that's really exciting for me. I want you to ask yourself this. If 2020, if this was the best year of your life, what would have to happen? If 2020 was the best year of your life, what would have to happen? Think about it. Write it down. If you want to achieve it, I promise you, you can. There is no greater guarantee of a long, happy, healthy, and prosperous life than for you to continue and commit to working on and being and having and achieving more of what lights you up inside. We're going to end with a quote. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits, and they have their entrances. And one man in his time plays many, many parts. Happy New Year. Ladies and gentlemen, you made it to the end of the podcast. Now, in a world where the average attention span is less than 10 seconds, we just spent almost an hour together. And I think this is the beginning of something really beautiful. Now, one way to support the podcast is to head over to freddysetgo.com and check out my newly launched page, Freddy's Faves, where I've linked every five-star product and healing modality you hear about on the show. Most offer significant discounts by clicking the link. And please know, it doesn't cost you anything extra, and at the same time, they support the show through affiliation. So, check out Freddy's Faves on freddysetgo.com. This episode of the Beautifully Broken podcast was brought to you by our sponsor, AmpCoil, upgrading the vibrations of hearts, minds, and bodies all over the world. Thank you for tuning in. If you enjoyed today's show, head over to iTunes and leave a five-star review. Grabbing a download is like giving this virtual thumbs up that we're doing it right. And if you want to connect with me, shoot me a message on Instagram at freddysetgo.com or at freddysetgo. That's all for today. Our closing. The world is hurting. We need you at your very best. So take the steps today to always be upgrading, whatever it takes to move the needle. Remember, while life is pain, putting those fractured pieces back together is a beautiful process. I'm your host. I love you. Namaste. Have a wonderful day.